Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Wow, there's a baby. There's a new baby in Anna Karenina. How exciting. Part 7, Chapter 15, Nor a Baby. That was the only discussion prompt I had for you guys. Babby is okay, says I am Norwegian. How long was Kitty overdue? I had expected something to go wrong, so this chapter was a relief. I'm still waiting for Levin's spiritual crisis, a la Tolstoy's A Confession. So I'm wondering how that is going to fit in with the new child, or how the book is going to fit it in, considering how close to the end we are. Swims to the mum fish. She said, based on my reading, I don't believe she was overdue. Based on my own experience, the waiting at the end is just so freaking long. Now, in terms of him having a spiritual crisis, don't worry. Tolstoy can fit a spiritual crisis into one chapter. Easy. He'll just have the main character, like, look at a tree for a prolonged amount of time and then just change their entire life. Their entire worldview, just kind of like doing about face with some big epiphany. And then, you know, maybe one or two chapters later, he'll just have that same character do another one of those while looking at a pond. Charlotte said, yikes, poor Levin, thinking the doctor was telling him Kitty was about to die. I empathize with his feeling at the end. Excuse me. For a little while, it didn't feel real to me. I couldn't believe I actually had a baby after waiting so long. Simply Productive said, I like the Hemingway Brainiac Marathon podcast of magic, but... Oh, that's the new name that I decided on yesterday's episode. But it's not really related, hey. How about the Hemingway Brainiac Marathon podcast of intellectual discussion, personal anecdotes, and Google rabbit holes? It's got a good ring to it. I like that. The Hemingway Brainiac Marathon podcast of intellectual discussion, personal anecdotes, and Google rabbit holes. Holy shit, says Simply Productive. Levin, he knew the sounds were produced by what once was Kitty. What a bloody description for your wife. I like how in this chapter he completely lost all sense of reality. I'm trying to remember the last time that something so deeply affected me in my own life that I forgot about the existence of everything else. I'm actually trying to find a real life example, but almost nothing fits. In any case, Levin was so focused on his wife and how she actually wasn't going to die that the birth of a baby seemed very much secondary to him. That is, up until the relief set in and he got his surroundings back. It's good to see Levin be so invested in his wife and family, and I'm definitely hoping this changes his view of the world just a tad, so he isn't quite as self-absorbed and confident in himself, that he becomes a really great dad instead. There is a bug in my book. That's a quote from yesterday's podcast as well. And there was a bug in my book. Okay, see, this is when I remember how vast, how indescribable it is in its immensity that our planet is. Because, Ander, I totally forgot bugs exist. Yes, hear me out. It's Canada. It's been below zero for many, many moons over here in Canada. And the bugs mostly dug their little holes in probably September or August or so and disappeared entirely. But a little thing I forget about every winter, and then when summer comes around, I complain bitterly about all the creepy crawlies, which I expect are about 1/16th the size of yours. I keep forgetting it's summer over there because I'm looking out of my office window and my car is currently covered in about 5 feet of snow and it's still coming down. Yep, wow, how's that, hey? We live in different worlds, although on the same one. It's summer here. It's really bloody hot, actually. The last few days have been muggy. And yeah, the bugs have come out. I actually saw two cockroaches this week in my house. which is gross. But I don't know. It's just kind of part of Australia. But yeah, cockroaches. You kind of associate cockroaches with, like, I don't know, squalor. So it's kind of alarming when you see one in your house. Anyway, that's gross. My house isn't squalid, by the way. There just happened to be bugs there because it's bloody Australian summer. Yeah, no, we do have big bugs. But this one that was in the book yesterday was a little fella. Just a little tiny bug. Like, he could sit on the end of a ballpoint pen. He could just perch himself on the ball of a ballpoint pen quite happily. Tiny little guy. We call them book bugs here in Australia. Not really. I made that up. Shall we see what's happening in the world of Anna Karenina? Let's see how Tolstoy? Let's see how Levin is feeling about this new baby of his. Oh, excuse me. Chapter 16 goes like this. Towards 10 o'clock, the old prince Koznishev and Oblonsky were with Levin, and having talked about the young mother, they had begun discussing other matters. Levin listened to them, and at the same time involuntarily thought of the past and of what had been going on before that morning, remembering himself as he had been yesterday before this event. 100 years seemed to have elapsed since then. He felt as if he were on some unattainable height, from which he painstakingly descended in order not to hurt the feelings of those with whom he was conversing. He talked, but never ceased thinking of his wife, of the details of her present condition, and of his son, to the idea of whose existence he painstakingly tried to accustom himself. That feminine world, which since his marriage had received a new and unsuspected significance for him, now rose so high in his estimation that his imagination could not grasp it. He heard a conversation about yesterday's dinner at the club and thought, what is it about her now? Is she asleep? How is she? What is she thinking about? Is our son Dmitri crying? And in the middle of the conversation, in the middle of a phrase, he suddenly jumped up and left the room. Send and let me know whether I may see her, said the old prince. All right, directly, answered Levin, and without pausing went to her room. She was not asleep, but was talking quietly with her mother, making plans for the christening. Made neat, her hair brushed, a smart cap trimmed with something blue on her head, she lay on her back with her arms outside the quilt and met his look with a look which drew him toward her. That look, already bright, grew still brighter as he approached. On her face was the same change from the earthly to that which was beyond earth, as is seen on the faces of the dead. But in their case it is a farewell, in hers it was a welcome. Again, an agitation similar to that which he had felt at the moment of the birth gripped his heart. She took his hand and asked whether he had slept. He could not answer, and conscious of his weakness, turned away. And I have been dozing, Kostya, she said, and now I feel so comfortable. She was gazing at him, but suddenly her face changed. Let me have him, she said, hearing the baby's cry. Let me have him, Mary Vlasevna, and he will see him too. Well, then, we'll let Papa have a look, said Mary Vlasevna, lifting something red, strange, and quivering, and bringing it nearer. But wait a bit. Let's first get dressed. And Mary Vlasevna put the quivering red object on the bed, and began unwrapping it, and then swaddling it again, raising and turning it with one finger, and powdering it with something. Levin, gazing at this tiny, piteous being, vainly searching his soul for some indications of paternal feeling, he felt nothing for it but repulsion. But when it was stripped and he caught a glimpse of thin little arms and legs, saffron-coloured, but with fingers and toes, and even with thumbs distinguishable from the rest, and when he saw how, as though they were soft springs, Mary Vlasevna bent those little arms which stuck up and encased them in linen garments, he was so filled with pity for that being, and so alarmed lest she should hurt it, that he tried to restrain her hand. Mary Vlasevna laughed. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. When the baby had been swaddled and made into a firm doll, Mary Vlasevna turned it over as if proud of her work and stepped aside that Levin might see his son in all his beauty. Kitty turned her eyes and gazed fixedly in the same direction. "Let me have him, let me have him," she said, and was even going to raise herself. "What are you doing, Catherine Alexandrovna? You must not move like that. Wait a moment, I'll give him to you. Let's show Papa what a fine fellow we are." And Mary Vlasevna held out to Levin on one hand, the other merely supporting the nape of the shaky head, this strange limp red creature that hid its head in its swaddling clothes. But there was also a nose, blinking eyes, and smacking lips. "A beautiful baby," said Maria Vlasevna. Levin sighed bitterly. This beautiful baby only inspired him with a sense of repulsion and pity. These were not at all the feelings he had expected. He turned away while Mary Vlasevna laid the child to the unaccustomed breast. Suddenly a laugh made him lift his head. It was Kitty laughing. The baby had taken the breast. "Well, that's enough," said Mary Vlasevna. But Kitty would not part with the baby. He fell asleep in her arms. "Now look at him," said Kitty, turning him so that Levin could see him. The odd-looking little face wrinkled up still more, and the baby sneezed. Smiling and hardly able to keep back tears of tenderness, Levin kissed his wife and quitted the darkened room. What he felt towards this little creature was not at all what he had anticipated. There was nothing merry or joyful in it. On the contrary, there was a new and distressing sense of fear. It was the consciousness of another vulnerable region, and this consciousness was at first so painful, the fear lest that helpless being should suffer was so strong that it quite hid the strange feeling of unreasoning joy and even pride which he experienced when the baby sneezed. All right, there we go. Another chapter down. Confusing feelings about your newborn baby. He needs to read a parenting book. It's okay to feel confused when looking at your newborn baby. Something like that, I imagine it would say. Have your say over on the subreddit. I do appreciate your time today with the whole listening to this episode thing. And I'll see you tomorrow.